with your hosts, Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly.
Hey guys, welcome to the Movie Night Podcast with me, Dwayne Perkins, and my co-host TK Kelly. Each week we watch a movie, we talk about it, and we have a special guest.
We do. We have a very special guest this week. I absolutely love this guy. He's hilarious. He has written for MTV's Ridiculousness and Playboy.com, and he also had a brand new album come out on October 7th called Scaredy Cat. Tony Sam, what's up, buddy?
Yo!
Oh, Tony Sam. How's it going?
How y'all doing?
I like that. I like that so many of our guests just immediately go into some weird radio voice.
How y'all doing?
Yeah, when you have a big mic in front of your face, I think that's what you tend to do.
It just happens.
Hey, boys and girls.
You're listening to W-A.
Yes.
W-S.
That's the default. I think Matt McCarthy did the exact same thing last episode. So how's it going, man?
Good.
What have you been up to?
Great. Just promoting the album like crazy, doing a lot of shows, freelance writing. It's a very busy time for old TS.
Nice.
Where did you record your album?
I recorded it at Acme in Minneapolis, which is one of the best clubs in the whole country.
Yeah.
So I felt very lucky to do it there, and the crowds were just amazing. And you hear the album, they loved me. They just love me.
It's hard not to.
I mean, the flyover states just love old T-Sam.
Yep, mainly because you call them flyover states.
Minneapolis is awesome. And
it is.
They love comedy.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to do it in a place where nobody knew me and no one had heard of my stuff. And I got the chance to do it with Mary Mack and Tim Harmston, which are both, they're originally from Minnesota.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're both fantastic. So we did it all together. And the turnout was great, and the album turned out great, and I just couldn't be happier.
That's awesome.
Can you tell from my voice?
From how many?
I couldn't be happier.
Yeah. You sound pretty happy.
You can hear the giant smile on Tony Sam's face.
I just heard myself. I was like, what are you talking about, you idiot?
Well, that's because comics are constantly thinking about the next thing. So, like, I think you're happy, but at the same time, you're probably like, I got to do this tomorrow.
I hear more satisfaction in his voice. Like, most comics, I think, are more like, yeah, you know, it came out great. It's good. I'm happy with it. It's good. It's a good. And this is your first album, right?
Yeah.
And that's nice. Great. And to have it come out in exactly the way that you imagine is a rare thing.
Yeah.
I think.
I mean, at this point in time, looking at it, I'm very happy with it. Like, I think it's the best I could have done. Maybe years from now, I'll look back and say, "Yeah, well, I could have done this or whatever." But you know, I think a lot of people, they maybe rush an album. And I waited a little longer than maybe I should have, but, you know, I've been doing comedy long enough where, you know, I have this hour-long album that represents the best material that I do, and I think it's great.
Yeah, check it out, guys. Scaredy Cat. What else is going on besides being absolutely ecstatic about your album?
Oh, boy. I got a new show we just started. If you're in Los Angeles, it's at this place called The Backyard at 4518, and the show's called Dun-Dun-Dun! Backyard.
The backyard.
A lot of people, they think it's in a backyard, but that's a
deceiving.
The goof.
Well, that's because there's like 100 backyard comedy shows in LA now.
Well, there's also a million backyards in the city. So,
there are. I mean, people don't know that. A lot of yards here.
A lot of yards.
Tons of yards. A lot of yards.
So we pulled an old goof and a gag. Huh? A little gag. We gagged you.
So have you found people are furious when they get there and it's not a house?
Hey, yeah, they wanted a picket fence. They wanted like a one of those bumblebee sprinklers that kids
people
jump through.
They're bringing their own lawn chairs.
And, yeah. No, a lot of people, they were furious. They did Yelp about it.
Like, this place is anything
but
a backyard.
We had some kids show up. They wanted to mow the lawn for like for 2 bits.
Right.
Two bits.
The show takes place in, I don't know, what's that, 1912?
Yes.
I don't know. I just realized, I'm like, when is
this? We have some gutter snipes show up, some street urchins, some undesirables.
So that is Silver Lake, right?
Or Silver Lake-ish? It's Los Feliz adjacent, I suppose. But I do that with Wes Hudson.
Yep.
And first show went really great. The next one's November 19th.
November 19th, and that is every other week.
Correct. Bi-weekly.
Bi-weekly.
Bi-sensual.
Bi-sensual. Like that. So it's not aggressive. It's not an aggressively sexual show.
No,
but
not sexual.
It's willing
very
to like romance
to whatever way you want.
Both genders. I like
it. It'll spoon with anyone.
Yeah. That's right. Hey, who's turning down hugs?
Right,
you know what I mean? This day and age. I'll take a hug from anybody.
There's a recession out there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, let's get into this movie.
This is a
Tony Sam original choice. Sometimes we do give our guests the opportunity to suggest a movie.
Yes.
Tony Sam picked, I suggested, I think, a couple of other very odd 80s
yeah,
movies.
Yeah, and I hated them. Hated all your suggestions.
Hated Howard the Duck.
No, well, I mean, that's kind of on par. That is a terrible film.
Yeah. Well, this is very much in that world. Tony Sam went with 1987's Leonard Part 6. directed by Paul Weiland, starring Bill Cosby, Tom Courtenay, and Joe Don Baker.
And a list of names you've never heard of.
I mean, when the second and third listed are Tom Courtenay and Joe Don Baker, I'm looking through the IMDb like, I don't know
it
any
was,
of these.
It was Who's That? Of Hollywood.
this movie, obviously I'm sure a lot of you guys have seen it mostly for it being listed very often on the worst movies ever made list.
It
or
won
worst
three
comedies.
Razzies. Three Razzies.
Oh man, this is it's a real stinker. It is. I guess
it's a matter of perspective.
It is.
Here's the thing. If you make Leslie Nielsen the lead,
that is exactly
right?
my
yeah.
thought.
and you add a few more gags like where it's clearly it, like you know you know like someone who's they say jokes but they're kind of straight faced.
Yeah.
And it's just not you're like, are you fucking with me, dude? Like this movie was like an hour and a half of, are you fucking with me? Like what?
So yeah, like this is not joking with you. It was almost like, here's a piece of shit, like, I'm gonna make you watch.
Like were they in on a joke? If they were, it would have been brilliant.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You're in that middle space where you're like, they're not taking it serious. I know that, but it's
this whole movie was like dogged by the director and Bill Cosby. They fought a lot. They
and you
could not
sense
stand
it.
Each other. Bill there Cosby was very arrogant about it. He was like, hey, you let me do the comedy, and then you worry about piecing it together when we're done.
Yeah.
And I read that he came up with the idea for this movie. It was such a random fact, but he came up with the idea with this movie while vacationing in France.
So he's at the height of his, not only his fame, but probably the height of his egotism.
Oh,
where it's
yeah.
like, this is a fucking great idea.
He was inspired by the great French cinema to make this horse shit.
Was he trying to make the Pink Panther? Was that
I don't know, but he basically made a phone call from France to the studio. They set up a meeting, greenlit the whole thing based on this idea.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they gave him its $25 million budget to produce this
in 87, too.
And the crazy thing is, you know,
and you would not know it by looking at it. It looked like garbage.
It looked garbage. When you give people scripts, you know, I've written a few screenplays, and people come back with the hackiest notes. Like they read a book about screenplays, and then they read your screenplay, and then they gave you notes, and it's always like, you know, I thought Act One could have started sooner. I thought, that, and you're like, listen, just cut the shit. All right, like. If Leonard 6 gets made, I don't want notes from anyone ever anymore.
But
like,
someone gave him a quarter of a hundred. I don't even know what I'm talking about.
A quarter of a hundred million.
A
just say 25
million.
Right. No,
why did I do that?
Because you wanted
almost
to make
a quarter of a billion.
More money.
Right. You wanted
it's
to make,
too much.
What if they gave him $1 billion to make Leonard 6?
Today, I mean, 25 mil in 87, that's a pretty huge chunk of change.
But the effects are horrible.
They're terrible.
This movie, you know what? I when I was watching this movie, I thought, this movie looks like a soft porn without the soft porn.
It does.
Like,
oh,
you know,
absolutely.
Soft porns don't make sense. It's just they're just setting up the next sex scene.
No, you're absolutely right.
It felt like that, except there was no sex scene.
It looks like the fact that you brought up Leslie Nielsen too. Just that was my exact thought. Was like, this could have been a very funny spy spoof.
Oh yeah,
but it wasn't taken to the level that it needed to be. If Leslie Nielsen was in this role, and if maybe a different director had handled it, but this was so much like a half baked version of that.
Well, I got two words for you too.
Yes,
ipso facto.
Yes.
It's the whole thing too is like you brought up that the director and Cosby just butted heads. To this day, Bill Cosby blames this whole thing on the director. The director blames it on the fact that Bill Cosby was so huge at the time, no one would criticize him.
Right.
So he had no one to say, no, don't do that.
He actually told people not to go see it. That's how much he hated his own film.
And it was, and also this is only, you know, this is written by Bill Cosby in the sense that it's story by Bill Cosby.
Oh, I thought it was screenplay.
No,
as well.
He's credited as story by, and he's credited as one of the writers. Hmm. But more or less what I've gotten from reading up on this is that it was his idea that he had in France, and that was kind of where he checked out. It was like, well, somebody write this fucking thing.
He was by Le Tour Eiffel.
Yeah, he came up with the idea. The seed of it was his, and then I think it just went off the rails.
You know, and I watched this in a Starbucks, full disclosure, and
like you just said, you watched it in like a porno theater.
They're like, sir, we need you to leave.
No, you cannot play that garbage.
They'd rather you watched a porn. Yeah,
and half of the time I had the window maximized, but I had to send out some emails. So I did, made the window smaller while I was thinking. So I'm just saying, maybe I missed something.
You didn't.
Okay, but I looked down and he kept pulling out stuff out of his pocket, like
melted butter.
He's a spy. Yeah, so he's a spy who doesn't ever go on a mission without consulting his psychic,
the gypsy who doesn't speak English
hands him random paraphernalia. And it always is. It turns out to be something he'll need to complete the mission. Yeah. It is the most, and the way they explain that is like I just did.
Yeah.
This is why I go see her.
The butler does all the voiceover.
This is how the screenplay was written. It was almost like if I said, like, you say the next word, then you say the next word.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. It's an improv game. Yeah.
The blue car is, you know, like driven by a monkey.
Yeah.
Like, it was a bad game of telephone. Maybe it started off
horrible,
like,
game of telephone.
This is like this brilliant idea. And by the time it got back to the States, it was just a hot pile of shit.
Like, what were you thinking you missed on it? You weren't clear on the fact that an evil vegetarian wanted to take over the world by controlling the animals.
I just didn't know why he had a magical bee.
No, I know what you mean.
A magical bee in his pocket and magical butter.
I know what you mean because there were times.
And it glittered. It had like a. Like,
they're magic.
I wasn't doing anything else, but there were times that, just unbeknownst to me, I just checked out mentally. And then I would I'd pop back into focus, and I'm like, I felt like the only logical explanation was that I must have missed something, but it was just, this movie was so fucking bonkers from scene to scene, so disconnected, all over the place.
Well, I just, before you two shit all over it completely, this is a very good childhood memory. I was 11 years old, saw it in the middle of nowhere in Woodstock, Illinois with my brother. We walked out of that theater high-fiving, thinking this was one of the funniest movies.
So you were dumb children.
I saw this movie three times.
There were funny moments.
I could see how a kid, especially a kid who...
That's
who,
three times more than Bill Cosby. Yeah.
I could see how a child who looked up to Bill Cosby would just, regardless of what came out,
loved him.
It was just like, well, you're going to love this movie, especially because it's like a silly spy flick. Yeah.
And we're dancing around. We're not dancing around. We haven't talked about it. Me and TK talked about it briefly. The whole thing with the accusations and, that's weird. Like, watching this movie after the accusations, it's just like, what?
Nobody wants to own up to a pile of shit. That's what it boils down to.
But no, what I mean is the accusations with the women.
This movie, there's so many subtext in this film that you can, it's like he picked from his life.
The reason that his wife left him was that he cheated on her, but he didn't cheat on her in the sense that he essentially said in not these words, but I did not penetrate that person. He did some really weird thing.
He hit her with bamboo reeds or something.
In
a hot tub. He was a 19-year-old girl, but he said he never had, I didn't have relations.
Yeah.
Right. But then he was pissed off because his daughter was dating a 60-year-old guy.
That's right.
And what was this,
which
what was
is
this
also
movie rated?
About him.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was this movie rated, by the way? Was this...
It had to be G or PG.
Right? But like to randomly then, insert like I was spanking
was
some
then.
Chick with
yeah,
bamboo reeds.
The girls,
like, that's very
the
strange.
The girls are like, he's getting pampered by the girls, and that was weird. And his wife thought, the butler said, his wife made him quit being a spy because she thought being a spy meant hooking up with blonde
women. Yeah, yeah.
I saw Cosby live do a blonde girl joke. And I don't know. It's just like, when I talk about Cosby, it's the same way like rappers are when they talk about Suge Knight. They never really get into it because I respect Cosby. Like, so I'm giving them the Suge Knight treatment. Where it's like, hey,
let's not talk about all of the horrendous shit.
What I think it is that to comedians, Bill Cosby is like Woody Allen is to a lot of film buffs.
I think
exactly.
For sure.
Like I mean, I love Bill Cosby, but I can't deny that, you know, a lot of these things are probably true.
Well, yeah. I mean, I that's the perfect comparison.
It doesn't make because me it not is, like as himself.
Right.
That album is the greatest comedy album I've ever
Well, yeah. I think especially, you know, when it comes to Woody Allen, if you're in filmmaking, or when it comes to Bill Cosby, if you're a comedian, you just look at the material and you're like, this is great. That's all I'm going to say.
Right.
Let's not talk about the other
shit. Or the way Michael Jackson was with everyone.
Yeah, I don't know, absolutely. No, it's true. I mean, there's a certain, if you put out a certain quality of product in any of those industries, people will turn a blind eye, which is heinous, and it doesn't make any sense. And it's not, but the thing is, like, people won't deny it. They're like, well, yeah, that's stuff that's happened. Yeah. But it's like, but that album was so good.
Right. It's like the episode of The Simpsons where that guy worked with Homer, and like Homer didn't do any work, and the guy was just pissed off. He was like, everyone likes Homer.
Oh, Frank Grimes.
Grimy.
Yeah, and he does no work.
That's what his friends called him.
Right.
And and that guy dies, and no one cares.
Yeah.
No, it's true. I mean, it is. And this is actually, this is one of the few things in Bill Cosby's comedic career that you can freely shit all over.
Yeah, right. Like, it's almost
well, this
like
and Ghost Dad. Ghost Dad.
Yeah. You shut your damn mouth.
Ghost Dad is horse shit.
Ghost Dad is pretty ridiculous. But I saw that as a kid, and I thought it was fucking amazing.
And by the way, Bill Cosby was in pretty good movies in the 70s. Like, if you go way back.
I Spy.
Yeah. With, like, Sidney Poitier, he was in. He was also in like almost like black exploitation movies. I think Uptown Saturday Night with like he was in movies where like they were in Harlem and they were doing stuff and
legit
he wasn't
acting.
Yeah, he wasn't being like, cuz I think in everything after the Cosby Show
just make some faces and
like he couldn't
do that Cosby thing.
He had
with
to
your
sort
face.
Of like he couldn't like even this movie, right, he hooked up with some girl, he doesn't own it, like everything is still through that Cliff Huxtable lens.
Yeah, well, this did seem like they didn't want to do anything to displease anybody. Like, his character in this movie is so fucking flat and boring and dumb.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like this movie is made up of clips of other okay comedies, and there's no actual substance to it whatsoever, and they don't go far enough to like the you know, the Naked Gun level.
True. Like, one of the opening scenes in the film is where the one guy's trying to kill him in his restaurant, and he's got a gun and pointed at him in the kitchen. A guy passes by that somehow allows him to get away from the gun being in his face, and it's the laziest, weirdest.
Oh my God, it's not choreographed
it's
at all.
The whole thing.
He doesn't even look like he's caring about even being in the scene.
He looks like he's dismissive of the whole movie.
Yeah, like he doesn't fear for anything at all.
The kitchen staff doesn't care that someone's got a semi-automatic machine gun.
And it seemed like that would work in a Naked Gun movie.
Yeah.
But in this movie, you're like, why are they not acknowledging the person? Because it's too based in reality.
And he kept shooting things, and it worked out. Like, he would shoot the grease, and they would just sort of use the grease.
They kept making food with, like, bullets. Right. I don't know.
I do like that the one chef gets the cake splattered on him, and he licks it. And he goes, "More butter."
Yeah. They are not affected. Right. But it was like right off the bat.
When you're 11, that is funny.
Yeah, that is funny.
Yeah. More butter.
But the movie doesn't set itself up in a way that makes any sense.
And the thing is, even the villain, she's a vegetarian, and she wants to end society because we eat. Animals?
But you don't. Well, you don't ever really get.
She did capture the true spirit of vegetarian.
Just pure evil. No, like you really. But even her, you don't get any sense of where this character came from, why she's doing what she's doing. Every character is very just surface, which is why I think I constantly got the feeling of I must have missed something. There was no tie-ins.
You kept thinking you missed something.
It was like there was four different stories happening at all times that were in no way related.
It was so disjunct that I think a better way to watch this movie would be to
backwards.
No, that's
not
great.
Do it to go back in time and unwatch it.
or just like literally skip to like, because you know, like a soap opera, you can watch a soap opera on Monday and watch the following Monday, so you've missed a whole week and you kind of get it. That's how slow they move.
Well, yeah, yeah, because this there's movie, different stories.
If you skip from scene to scene to scene, you'll be like, what?
Yeah, just watch all
it's
this.
A bunch of weird sketches.
Like, it doesn't. Yeah, it seems
if you watch the first
unrelated.
30 seconds of each scene, you would be so confused.
I mean, you're so confused watching the whole thing. So
but were you hooked? Like, I believe the opening scene is the frogs in the car.
No, that's not the opening. That's the opening is what animal kills it? The fish.
When he's on the ostrich. The fish kill the guy.
The barking fish is the first. The first. Yeah, the barking fucking fish is the first animal death.
Yeah,
but weren't you intrigued at least?
I was right off. I will say, like, this is one of the only movies I've ever watched where the first scene was so fucking bananas that I was like, I have to watch this.
Yeah,
like guys underwater brainwashing a fish that starts barking. Yeah. And then it fucking swims through a sewer that for whatever reason, this sewer from the, or it's like a sewer pipe that is supposed to lead to the ocean.
Yeah.
It's connected to a rich guy's pool.
But doesn't it make a couple wrong turns and stuff?
It stops. It stops to read a Playboy. Yeah. The fish finds a discarded Playboy and stops to look
at it.
They
added that in post. That and, was the worst thing.
And then it goes and murders a guy in his pool. Yeah.
What would, I think Quellish. The making of Leonard Six would probably win an Oscar.
That would be, well, to me, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
A great documentary.
Yeah. It's like that documentary about Troll 2, right? Like, worst movie ever, whatever it's called. Yeah. And that, like, that this needs to be done.
When I went to see who directed it, I thought it was going to say Alan Smithy. You know, like, when directors don't want to associate with the movie, that's the standard name they use.
Yeah. But
there's this guy's name, like, right there.
Well, let's...
wait, could we do one real quick?
Yes.
So the word that triggers the animals is quellish.
Yes, but, which they also never explain.
No, but could you imagine when Bill Cosby was like, "So Bill, what do you think we should have the people say the album?" Be like, "Well, say with quellish."
And then, genius. He was just shit-faced.
That's great, Bill.
He was just shit-faced in France on the other end of the phone.
That's so
like,
great.
That's fucking hilarious. And they do. They don't ever explain it. Like, I don't even know if I understood what they were saying until I read up on the movie after.
Well,
I was like, what is
they're
that?
They were trying to trick him by putting dish soap in that thing, and then all they were using was dish soap. They were putting dish soap in animals.
And she said, I had dish soap in it to begin with. So
it was never, it was never anything.
Well, you know, the...
oh, my God. I'm so angry at
this movie. Is a heat check. You understand?
Yeah, it is. You're absolutely right.
It's like you're watching basketball and
Cosby's pulling up from 35 feet on this.
And the guy's like, well, everything's going in.
He's like, fuck it, we're up by 20. I'm going to pull up from 35.
Pulled up from half court. Yeah. And
just going to see what happens. Oh, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
He had nothing to lose.
It's a heat check, and it's also there's no one to say
it's
no.
It's a heat check, and then after this, it was like, take it to the hole. No more jump shots.
Let's go back to layup.
Most UCLA screenwriting classes, they begin with Leonard Part 6 as a way to...
Just don't do any
of
this?
No, they say this is quality. This is what you want to keep writing.
Interesting. Yeah. Let's get into the game.
Let's launch into these.
Excuse me.
No, because I want to talk about it.
Well,
because
we could shit on this movie overall nonstop. But let's get into the games this week. The first one, just for a movie that is as bizarre as it is, and the title... appropriately bizarre. Leonard Part 6. What the fuck that means?
The first five were top secret.
I guess. I don't understand. This all sounds like an egotistical maniac was just like, we'll call it this. We'll fucking say this word. And they're all like, yeah, that's good. And meanwhile, everybody's like, I'm really worried. This is going to be a huge piece of shit. So rename this movie to something that more appropriately or even remotely describes it. You want to lead it off, Dwayne?
Oh, sure. Well, by the way, this movie reminds me of my dreams, because when I dream, like, all my dreams
that
I remember...
My dreams have way better plot structure.
I'm like an action... right. I'm always an action hero, but it's all crazy.
It's insanity.
Yeah.
No, this does seem like a madman's dream.
So I put Cliff Huxtable on an acid trip.
Yep.
That's this movie.
Cliff
on an acid trip.
He is a very milquetoast, quiet-ish character. He's very Cliff Huxtable, where he's like... He seems like a family man, but everything around him is just fucking insanity.
Yeah.
Like, if you took Cliff Huxtable and just dropped him in a crazy person's dream. Like it.
Yeah, there you go.
What do you think, Tony?
Well, I mean, he's supposed to be a spy, and I liked in my mind, just for a second, I wandered off there, And I said, James Cause 00 Theo! But that was just so I could say 00 Theo!
That needed to be said. I mean, that's
like, well, thank you for doing that. That's real.
So, but I don't think I can top that, so I'm going to stick with that.
Stick with it. I think we should just call it the thing that used to be Bill Cosby's greatest shame.
Oh, wow.
Like, ooh, this was...
I don't know. I think it still is a serious thing.
Right, he'd rather have that than a rape charge. I did make Leonard think so.
Yeah, if we're really going to get up in arms about something horrible I did, let's look back at this movie.
Right.
Let's go to number two, the old classic, make a drinking game out of it. I'll lead this one off. Mine is, the villain really vexed me. I didn't understand who the fuck she was. She was based out of International Tuna Factory.
That's right.
And her henchmen were just huge buff black guys. I don't know. They looked like NFL players.
And one white.
This movie is so sexual. Now that, like, Tuna, the buff guys have on the tightest shorts.
It is. It's very. You can see. You can
naked.
See that a sexual deviant was at the heart of this movie.
It's because vegetarianism made people sexually charged and buff. That was the message that I took away.
So, in keeping with the insanity of the villain, my favorite tick of hers, which I didn't get for the longest part of the movie, it took me almost till the end to understand. She's vegetarian. I remember she would snap and tell her henchmen to forcefully yell at her henchmen to give her fruit. It was her like catchphrase, but and she would just go, "Mango me,
yeah,
mango me, grape me, apple me." And I'm like, "What is this lady fucking talking about?" Yeah. I was so confused. And she would snap, and they'd just hand her some fruit, and she'd eat it like very ravenously. I believe she ate a mango with the skin on. I'm very troubled by her. Yeah. So every time she demands fruit, just take a shot.
I like it, Tony.
Oh, well. Just quickly, well, she did never explain, but she had an old man boyfriend, right?
He was just, I don't know if it was her boyfriend.
Kill him.
He just sat there. He's like, "Kill him." And she's like, "In time."
She set up her empire with his disability checks. That's what she said. Like,
maybe he was just the cash cow. I think she was fucking all
paying
that.
I didn't
even notice that.
All right,
I just thought he was just some random guy.
Drinking game. All right. Every time Bill Cosby phones it in a scene, you drink.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
You won't
God.
Make it out of the
you
first 10 minutes.
Out.
You can really, like, it made so much sense to me when I read that there was all this tension between him and the director, because it was like, why is Bill Cosby so mad at his own movie while making it?
Yeah, he looks
he
mad.
He does not want to be there. He's like clearly just like, fuck this movie already.
Except the end scene. He looks like he's having a lot of fun.
That was probably shot first. Right. It's the only explanation. What do you think, Dwayne?
This one, I didn't really have a good answer. I thought every time the English guy chimes in, because I love that he has an English...
Oh, the random butler, the narrator.
The narrator. It feels like they added that at the end. Makes no sense. Why don't you just tell people what's
happening?
And
it didn't help.
It didn't help at all. Either that or you watch it with someone who hasn't seen it. And every time they go like, what the fuck? Or they want to turn it off.
Every time they're, what am I watching? Yeah, that would be, that's a good one. I like that. This is a weird thing. The whole movie hinges on the fact that this woman can, the evil lady, vegetarian, I don't remember her name. She was able to brainwash animals and was using them to kill CIA agents.
The top agents.
Also, never really the top agents, which Bill Cosby was very believable as a top CIA man. Who also very well paid, right? He gets like $6 million per job.
Per
I'm like,
job.
I don't think the CIA well guys paid. Are getting that.
That's more money than the movie Gross.
Yeah. But she's able to control animals and brainwash them to do her bidding and bark for some reason. If they're a fish, they can just start barking. So if you guys could brainwash animals to do your bidding, what would you have them do? Tony, let's have you lead this one off.
Oh, boy. I don't know. I have two cats, and I think if I could brainwash my cats, I guess I don't know. Wouldn't it be funny to see a cat make an omelet?
I agree with any animal like, like a service
an
position.
Apron. Like any animal in an apron.
Or as like a personal
sweeping.
Chef or a butler. Any kind. Because no one wants to do their own household chores. And everybody would love them if they were small animals doing them.
I get a kick seeing a cat on a Roomba.
Like, I'd imagine a cat like with a full Dyson, like just vacuuming your rug.
Yeah, that's terrific.
I like it. I like it. I kept mine actually in line with the movie because my first instinct was absolutely to have animal butlers. I was just afraid you guys were going to go with that too because that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
But I would brainwash animals to actually kill CIA agents just to see how long it takes the CIA to piece together. Like when one guy's like, did you guys ever see that fucking garbage Bill Cosby? I think someone is copycatting that movie.
You just got your podcast flagged.
That's all right.
You just did.
We've been flagged for so many things already. Dwayne, what do you think?
I'm ashamed to say mine, because I like what you guys said so much.
That deep.
Yeah. I said to dump. When I say dump, I mean actually shit on, like literally.
Yeah.
Anyone on my list. Until like anyone who's pissed me off.
So a real shit list.
Yeah, but a real shit list. Not only birds though. Birds are obviously birds, but I mean like all animals. Rats, cats, dogs.
So they gotta get into an area where they're able to shit.
Yeah,
on
when
a
you're walking, you know, until I call them off. Until you make amends.
Wait. So they will continually shit on them, or they'll just
nonstop.
Like a shit waterfall on this person.
Yeah, like everywhere they go. Yeah.
Well, I really like yours. I really like yours because you thought about, hey, what can animals really do?
Yeah, yeah.
And for me,
that's like I mean no, but as
right.
A
yeah.
cat standing up there on two legs.
You can train a dog to shit if you like with a buzzword.
Yours is very realistic, and I give you two kudos.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, I think we have time for one more. Let's do, what do we think?
Want to go to number five, maybe?
Yeah, let's pitch the sequel, because this movie is just otherworldly terrible. So how do you follow it up? Like, what is Leonard Part 7?
Well, first of all, the next one would be Leonard Part 6, clearly. I mean, Part 12, excuse me. Leonard Part, that joke, I messed up a good joke.
You fucked it up. Let's start the podcast over.
Leonard Part 12.
Yeah, yeah. Inexplicably missing five more.
Bill Cosby and Jason Statham, they're in Prague, and they're trying to foil a terrorist plot. So it's Bill Cosby being, and he's his age that he is now.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, just throw him in the transporter. But is it serious?
It's basically it. It's Jason driving him around, basically. And him and Cosby going, why are you, do you have to, can you just slow down? You know, like.
Just being a curmudgeon.
Yeah. And so, I like them in Prague. I think all action movies should be in Prague for some reason.
That's just Dwayne's on the tourist board.
I like
it. Yeah.
Tony, let's do yours, man.
Well, I mean, that's a pretty good title. I don't think I could one-up you.
Or 12, right?
But the sequel would probably, instead of vegetarians, it would focus on bloggers.
Oh, I love that.
I feel like he'd be taking on the Huffington Post. Like that, like an area of Huffington. They'd only eat quinoa, too.
Quinoa, mate.
Quinoa. Maybe that's the word they say.
Great.
Quinoa.
And then they blog. They'd write their opinions. It's like.
Is it animals blogging? Please tell
me. No, it's just nerds. It's just nerds with opinions.
Is it nerdy animals?
It's nerds with opinions. Just they're putting in their social commentary on everything.
I like it.
So he defeats them, but no one notices? Is that kind of.
No, the whole internet crashes. The whole internet goes down.
Right. Or the internet's fun again, you mean? That'd be fucking great.
Yeah, the internet's great.
I'm kind of a little bit in line with Dwayne. I want to have Bill Cosby today. I want them to remake this movie shot for shot, but take out all of the... Take any scripted dialogue, take it out, and I just want Bill Cosby to fucking explain himself in every scene. Explain what he was trying to do.
Director's comment.
Like in the movie as it's happening.
Oh, that's crazy.
When he's wearing that fucking crazy outfit,
the bike helmet,
and he's like hiding behind cardboard boxes. I just want to see him look at the camera and be like, "I'm really sorry. Like I don't know. I don't know what the fuck happened." But see, like old Bill Cosby. Even talking is so like, if you've seen him on late night shows, like it's a little rough. He's kind of all over the place, but I want to see him just dejected and just apologetic. I really do. Just explain yourself, Bill.
I like that.
I like it.
Defend yourself, Cosby.
I always like to, really harshly treat old people. That's my thing. Just break them down. Just really, what the fuck did you do with your life? On that note.
Oh, you hate.
I'm just, I really do. I would, though, genuinely like to see or hear a podcast, anything, some sort of explanation from him. Besides, like, oh, the fucking director did it. Like, own up to the fact that this was your idea.
Has he ever done a podcast?
I don't know.
What's these computers things?
Great.
This between
will you guys do one? Do it. Oh,
no, I got no Cosby.
Do it.
I got no Cosby in me. The Rudy. That's all I got. The Rudy. I assume he called
the Rudy.
I can say
he loves Rudy. That's his favorite.
Yeah, there you go. That's an easy one.
I never do an impression without a week of practicing it beforehand.
I got to be drunk to do impressions, because then I think I'm good at them. On the note of our horrible Cosbys and Tony Sam's amazing Cosby.
Amazing Cosby.
We'll get out on that. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Tony, thanks for being here, man.
Thank you, guys.
This is coming out this Friday. Anything you want to plug in particular?
No, just buy my album, Scaredy Cat. It's on iTunes, Amazon, and the next Backyard Show in Hollywood is on the 19th.
And Twitter handle?
At TOEKNEESAM. At Tony Sam.
Tony's, I bet. Boy, man, your reps must love how difficult you made it to find you on Twitter.
No. It's
let's
easy.
Spell it all differently.
Tony.
Let's take Tony Sam, which is extremely easy to spell, and let's fuck with it. Mm-hmm.
Well, you see, I tried Tony Sam, but a couple, Tony and Sam, had already taken it.
That's all right.
I see.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? You're going to fucking replace your name
what
with body parts.
Do?
I like it. Dwayne.
FunnyDP is the Twitter handle. DwaynePerkins.com is the website. And Dwayne Perkins is the movement. I don't know what that means.
The movement.
What does that mean?
I am at TK Kelly Comedy on Twitter, and I will be down in San Diego next weekend, the 21st and 22nd, with some of the Tosh.0 guys at the Comedy Palace. So come check that out if you're around. That is it for this week. Thanks again for being here, Tony.
Thank you, guys.
Tune in next week, guys.
See ya.
You've been listening to Movie Night with Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly. Be sure to like them on Facebook. Just search for Movie Night Podcast Show. And follow them on Twitter. Just search for @MovieNightCast.